Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
Welcome to Myobi Defend Your Childhood, the podcast where every week we put a little bit of your past on trial. Wait, you don't know who we are? Well, fine. First, we take a movie that you like. You know the ones. The ones the buses always had on field trips.
We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
The afternoon animated show tie-in. Or the ones your parents didn't want you to see, but you watched at a sleepover. So that's the game. The movies are 10 years old and the defendant hasn't seen them in 5. Then
we're here to talk about The Sandlot. When I was a kid, I wasn't allowed to play with the other children, so this is how I learned human interaction.
Ask them what they think.
Obviously, I remembered your wigs, because as soon as my parents found out that I was deathly afraid of parasites, they were like, let's show her Wrath of Khan.
So, in the end, does your past hold up? Can you defend your childhood? Tune in every Thursday to find out.
Hello, and welcome again to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. I am your host, The Monster, back to give you another sci-fi news podcast for this week. So, I've been really, really busy for the past 7 days that I worked, including, finally, the library presentation that I was able to do this past Thursday. So, by the time Friday rolled around, I was really quite exhausted and could not get this podcast out on time, hence why it's going out late. But still, it's going to be good, like always. So, here's my thing. I'm going to be talking about the funny thing that's happening with Superman's mustache in the Justice League reshoots. We also have some news about Ben Affleck staying on for Batman. And lastly, I'm going to do a mini review of the last season of Doctor Who. Why? Well, I'll tell you how that all came to be. But let's get on to some quick tidbit news. So, Cloverfield 3 has now been pushed to 2018. So, we'll have to just wait another year or so to get that finalized. But nonetheless, that's fine. Wasn't as if we're clamoring for another Cloverfield anytime soon, considering how busy the schedule is for 2017. That's fine. We're okay. The other thing is the sad passing of John Hurt. And, of course, his most famous movie again, him starring with Macaulay Culkin in the Home Alone movies. I was more aware about him way back in the 80s with a little movie called Cat People. And then shortly thereafter, he did another movie called Chud. And if you don't know what Chud is, well, Chud is a horror movie, and it's an acronym for Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dweller. So, it was an interesting movie. Again, wasn't expecting much of anything from Chud, but why John Hurt starred in this, I don't know, but I guess he needed to eat. So, but of course, he went on to do better movies after that. And one of the other things that I thought was one of my favorite performances, and a small role, but not small in stature, but there was a movie called My Fellow Americans, in which he played the vice president. And the two former presidents was James Gardner and Jack Lemmon. These two former presidents were being set up to be the fall guys. And basically, the person behind it actually was John Hurt. And He played more of a Dan Quayle type personality. So if you know who Dan Quayle is, this is going back to George Bush's presidency and his dumb vice president. But channeling that, you would think, yeah, he's an idiot. But no, he was pretty smart because he was the one that orchestrated all this. But then there's this one moment towards the end of the movie that he says something that is hysterical. And I am not going to tell you what it is because you really should watch it. As again, great performances from Jack Lemmon and Gardner. But that one moment from John Hurt threw me for a loop. And it was funny as hell. So I was really happy about that. Again, I'm sorry that we've lost another great talent of ours. But again, if you haven't seen those movies, please do yourself a favor and check them out whenever you can. All right, so let's get started with the big thing with Superman's reshoots with the Justice League. Well, like with most movies, if you're going to be doing reshoots, sometimes you have a project already lined up after you finish the initial or the principal photography. So in this case, he was doing Mission Impossible 6. And he grew a mustache. And now they have to do reshoots of him. Paramount, which owns Mission Impossible 6, does not want him to shave his mustache. So the big joke is they're going to have to digitally remove that stash. So people were having fun on the internet drawing pictures of what Henry Cavill will look like with the Superman suit, with the mustache, and making comparison to him to Freddie Mercury, which is, oddly enough, pretty damn close as far as comparison. But in some instance, it looks like Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad with the kind of stash he would have. So I'm just thinking, how bad can this be? But from the reports that I'm getting, the initial reshoot budget is like $25 million, and it's taking a little bit longer than most normal reshoots are going on. But again, reshoots are not that uncommon. Look what happened with Rogue One, which 60% of the movie almost was practically reshot. But the results are, it was a fantastic movie. So I'm not that worried. I'm just worried about the fact that the running joke is that if you see Superman in this movie, it's because he has the stash, and I'm sure someone just left it in there just for jokes, but I can't believe that that's a thing that it's become news, but whatever the case is, there you have it. The other item is that finally, Ben Affleck confirmed that he is staying on as Batman. Or the Batman, I should say. And he's going to be doing it a trilogy with Matt Reeves. So hopefully Matt Reeves will have it all fleshed out and will have a game plan, because the idea is after Ben is done playing those roles for those movies, we're going to get a Batman Beyond. Now, to me, since one of the things that I think DCEU is lacking is a plan, like the Cylons from Battlestar Galactica, who claim to have a plan since the very beginning, and then that plan never really materialized, or at least it was really crappy. Whatever what they were going for never really happened, but whatever the case is, supposedly we got a plan. So, and of course, with Zack Snyder being really the sole architect of getting this off the ground, we are getting other people involved with Geoff Johns, Patty Jenkins. Of course, Joss Whedon is going to be part of that mix. And of course, Matt Reeves. So if they can all flesh this out and make this more cohesive and lighter and brighter in some areas, well then, by all means, let's go forward. But we'll see what happens when we come to the Justice League and the future for the franchise in general, because again, a lot of money and effort is being put to this team up effort that is taking less time to put together. But you know, now that we have the Avengers Infinity trailer that was out on D23, it's hard to compare the two against each other. because, again, Marvel is such a blockbuster name right now, whereas DC is still trying to stay together as its own brand. And, of course, Wonder Woman is, again, the number one domestic movie for this year so far, outbeating Guardians of the Galaxy, so, which is phenomenal. I am ecstatic that that has happened. So it is a bright spot for DCEU, but again, there's a long road ahead for this franchise. Now, I will be talking about more specific details when I do the next podcast hopefully soon about Comic-Con, because there was a lot of news about what was coming up, especially for the Flash movie. So let's move on to the last thing. So again, not a very long podcast, but I just wanted to get at least out there because, you know, I'm trying to be consistent with my materials here and get it done. So, Doctor Who, this past season, is the last season for Peter Capaldi. Now, I've gone to really enjoy his performance for the past couple of years. The first two seasons that he was on, I think, were top-notch. And last season was, okay, there were some fantastic moments, but right off the bat, I saw the return of Dr. Mysterio, which didn't exactly, like, wow me away. And then, maybe about a week ago, I started to watch the first episode or so, the pilot. And this is where we get the Doctor and Nardole, and we get Bill, who then becomes part of this trio. Now, since I already have it on my computer, I can watch it at any time. But the problem lies, I don't have the closed caption. I don't have BBC America. So watching it or streaming it live is not an option. But thankfully, YouTube TV opted in my area. So I did a one-month free trial. And there was BBC America. And there was all of Doctor Who for this past season. So I'm like, fine, I'll start watching it. The first episode, the pilot, again, I watched it with the subtitles. It was okay. It was fine. And again, the introduction of a new companion or a new component usually kind of picks up after the second, maybe third episode. But with this, we get the smile episode, which is about the emoji robots. And then we have Thin Ice. Even by Knock Knock, this is, even by this time, I was just like, I'm just not feeling much of anything with Bill and the Doctor and Nardole. It just, it's okay. It's not really compelling. It's not really wowing me. It's not blowing my socks off, basically. Now, to put in perspective, these episodes I just mentioned, yesterday being Saturday, all I did was just stay in bed. Again, for 7 days of working, including the presentation, I just stayed in bed and watched Doctor Who, and I finished the entire season. So I just ate homemade chili from the night before and opened up a box of Lucky Charms and just snacked on it straight out of the box. So I did a major binge on all of Doctor Who. So we get Oxygen, which is a decent enough episode, but then we get episode 6, which I think is Extremis, the Pyramid at the End of the World, and the Lie of the Land. That trilogy, that little story arc with the monks, that is what I'm talking about. I don't mind Doctor Who on a small scale where it's just they're on a small little adventure. I kind of also like the big global thing that happens. Usually they put it towards the end of the season and there's a big climax like the Silence or anything as the big heavy hitters. You save that towards the end. But here they put it kind of almost right in the middle. But again, that story arc, those 3 episodes, finally there was some substance that I'm like, I'm really digging it. From that point on, I was just like, bravo, I'm happy that this has happened. But then we kind of go downhill for a bit. And we get the Empress of Mars, the Eaters of Light. But then the last two finally really does pick up because of the whole Missy being brought back, so to speak. She was kind of throughout the whole chain of events, but now she's brought into the fold towards the last two episodes. So The World Enough and Time and The Doctor's Fall really, I think, set up for what's going to be, of course, the last Doctor's final episode. But what a ride. Those two episodes really jam-packed. The only thing that I would say that really, really disappointed me was that Missy, who I have loved, I have adored, anytime she is on the screen, she eats up the scenery. She has fun with it. There wasn't a whole lot of fun that I felt from her. And I'm just not sure there was just that much for her to do, given that you had this as a final season. I'm sure they could have done more with her character. And there was a backstory as to the beginning of the season of who was behind this cell or this barricade, so to speak, that Doctor had to keep an eye over. So by the time you get to the end, you understand the need for him to bring in Missy, but then we get the old master, which I'm like, oh my god, this is really fantastic. Two masters against one doctor. And it kind of works, but I think more what finally won me over, at least what to do with his companion, unfortunately, the companion does take a turn for the worse, and I'm not going to spoil it any further than that, other than if you haven't seen it, you should take yourself a day or two and just watch it like I did. Because again, those last two episodes really do work really well. I think the story element and the time element was really clever, kind of like playing off from what happens with events in Interstellar. So I'm like, that's very clever storytelling, and which you can comprise two different time periods happening at the exact same time, and you'll understand when you see the episode. But more than that, when we get towards the end of the final season or the final episode and the final scene or the final shot, you know, we know that the ending is coming, but he is able to hold off the Doctor from regenerating. But then all of a sudden, I'm going to give you a minor spoiler here, but we do get the first Doctor. Now, granted, it's not the first Doctor that we saw from the original series. It is the Doctor from the Adventures in Time and Space movie, which I have yet to see, and I really need to see it. But that guy, that actor playing the first Doctor, is coming back. So I'm now really happy and really excited the fact that we're going to see the two Doctors together. After that, it's a given that a Doctor will regenerate into a woman. And it's a Christmas episode, so normally the Christmas episodes have been kind of hit and miss lately. So those three things, I'm really interested to see how this has all come together. So yes, sad to see that Peter Capaldi is now officially leaving after this, but it was actually a good run that I was actually happy with, more so now than I was with last season, even though there was more emotional connection with The Impossible Girl, which I really love and truly admire because they were more friends. Whereas Bill and the Doctor, I didn't get the chemistry. It didn't, again, work well for me. But again, Bill did her thing, and it was fine. So I'll leave it at that. All right, so that was my Saturday all day, catching up on like almost 12 episodes of Doctor Who. So yes, I was very tired, but honestly, I couldn't have planned a better Saturday. And best of all, my son was sitting next to me in bed. So yay, you know, a win-win. So I'll leave it at that. I'm done with this podcast. Remember, you can always email me at monstersci-fi show@gmail.com. Please follow me on the various social networks, especially on Instagram or my Facebook page. I do post lots of cool stuff. If you're curious what I look like, I posted a picture of me doing a presentation on Instagram, so you can see my ugly mug on that on my profile. So, nonetheless, thank you very much for listening to me and to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi from a certain point of view. Good night.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.